DHZ, go! I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomos, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. DHZ know what's popping in the field.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Where's my cup of coffee, brother? It's too early.
It is early.
I'll screw up.
Yeah.
Saints. B.S. and B-Boys. I love this podcast. I love this.
We, thank you. I feel like I say it every time, but you know, it's when somebody likes me, I feel like I like them back.
We love you back, brother.
Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew live here in my basement. It's a palatial. We've determined it's somewhere between 90 and 200 square feet.
Yeah, somewhere between.
Somewhere between there.
Tell us yours with 200.
So yeah, we'll go with 200. Round next round. It's a, but I tell you what, we have the room off to the side.
Oh, there you go.
That's the office. That's so, the palatial offices of the BS and Beer. That's where we could.
Which is bigger than the studio.
Well, it's much bigger than the studio. Got the big TV. Yeah. Nobody ever sits in there. It's just a room. I don't know. I picked the small room so that, like, you know, it has that studio feel.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
We just need to put some glass
intimate.
Up.
Intimate. Very intimate.
Yeah. Very intimate. All right. Well, sit back, relax for the next hour or so. We're going to be filling your head with more Saints information and nonsense than anybody needs to know. So grab a drink. And we're about to do this.
Drinking game.
We are. Hey, I tell you what, we have some updates from the medical staff. I don't know if it's an update. I got to quit saying it like that. We don't have any updates. We're going to talk about this medical staff.
What medical staff?
Yeah. Well, I guess they all got fired. Yeah. So, but I guess they still have some support. It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
We're playing the Chargers.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing, and I guess I should have started with this. I'm heading to Louisiana to execute some business deals we have up there, and that's why we decided to record on Sunday, which in hindsight I didn't want to not do a show. Having said that, I don't know if this is the best day to do the show with the game tonight. We'll do what we can, go over some news, go over some things from practice, some notes and whatnot, and then also I just realized, okay, so I guess this whole Jenkins thing, I don't even know his first name. What's his first name?
Alex Jenkins.
Alex Jenkins. Yeah. I didn't realize this whole European thing. I thought it was funny. They interviewed him, and he was like, oh, tell me more, sir. You know, the sporting contest yesterday was excellent. British. You know, I was like, oh, well, okay. This dude is straight up, I'm Mrs. Doubtfire. I didn't know. Would you care for a biscuit? And I didn't know that that's how they would. You know. So
where have you been, brother?
I found out about it when you mentioned it. Yeah. It might have been 2 weeks ago, but I heard him. I didn't know.
Just like when I mentioned Twitter, and you go, "What?
Yeah, who? Twit?" But you mentioned him.
Yes.
I didn't realize. I mean, okay. So it was the first I heard of it. An extra roster spot. Now I hear about it everywhere. So obviously you were ahead of the curve.
I try to be.
And you did. You were. But I heard him interview the guy, and I was, like, laughing, you know.
He is the curve.
Yeah.
He's a martial artist. No, but you didn't know that?
All kinds of stuff. No, yeah, I heard about it. The interview, man, the one where he was like, I was a martial artist.
And that's why he's so good with his hands. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man. So all right. We also have an email from a listener, and he sent us a question. I'm a little confused by the – it says – walking up behind a teenage boy on the internet.
Oh, sounds like you.
And the solar eclipse. Oh, I see. That's the answer. The question is, name two things that may cause blindness. So,
oh my God.
I read them in the wrong order.
What are we going to do, brother?
I read them in the wrong order. So, I tell you. All right, let's get this show started. This is going nowhere. This is going nowhere.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Well, I don't know. Is this the right time? Is this the appropriate time to break our... Whoa, whoa.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
I'm changing that, by the way. I didn't tell you about this, but it's going to be breaking news from the BS and Beer Booze Desk from now on. I just didn't get a chance to change it. I just think that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
So usually we say, or at least I do, that when we hit the breaking news, nothing very serious ever comes out after breaking news.
Right,
but
right.
But yeah, I'm going to New Orleans this weekend, and I'm going to be working with ESPN.
What you bringing us back?
Oh, come on, man.
I mean, hey,
what's the budget?
Well, I don't know, Mr. ESPN. We must have unlimited funds.
Man.
Don't you think so, Heath? I think he's got that ESPN credit card, doesn't he?
That's right. God, man. Here go with the ESPN
Spence
money.
Account.
But I mean,
we're your friends here. I mean,
Heath was saying that he felt left out or something.
I mean, I don't know.
Tomas has his show. I have the ESPN show that we do here in Lexington.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, buddy, I went ahead and got it done. I got you.
Oh man, I don't know what to say.
We're going to be on ESPN 97.7, an ESPN affiliate in Louisiana. The show's going to be on every Wednesday night.
What
2 hour show?
Ruston. Oh,
Ruston. Up in northern Louisiana.
There's a lot of 97.7s out there.
Is there?
Which one?
But not ESPN 97.7.
Probably are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't pay that much attention to it. But anyway, we finally got it done. We've been working on it for a while. And so anyway, there's the big news that we talked about last week.
Go.
And you guys, listen, now it's going to be incumbent upon you guys.
Incumbent.
You like that? Yeah. I've been hanging around with Heath, and he's in the big words. That you guys give us those hotline calls so that we have plenty, because the show won't be live. It's going to be pre-recorded.
Right.
So we won't be able to take phone calls, but we can have those hotline calls and do the graffiti thing. Yeah. So we're going to need these guys. Matter of fact.
And what's that hotline number?
It's 701-901-1295. You guys start getting
they get emails
cranked
too.
Out. Yep, at bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Or they can also send you a tweet.
The tweet that Saints BS. I got this down, man. Saints BS. Follow me. Matter of fact, man, I tell you what, I'm just a tweeting fool now.
I like it.
It's like having your own little domain, and people you make friends. And
you got a Twitterverse.
Yeah, the Twitterverse. Yeah, we should use that.
Yeah,
we should call it that, and we kind of make it our thing. So no, just me.
No,
huh?
I like that. And this week from our Twitterverse, we can pick up little tweets that come in.
Yeah, and you know what? We got to come up with a good name for it, but we can have a segment where we just. You know, people who tweet and what they have to say about
tweets from the
things.
Twits.
See, the only problem is if we allow that, then I think that people will be lazy and they won't call in. See, I love the graffiti.
Some people like to hear their own voice on the radio.
Yeah.
Like me.
So now it was definitely.
Yeah. What am I then, boy?
You're a loudmouth schnook.
Look at here, son. I'm no loudmouth schnook.
Look at here, boy.
Boy.
All right, now look, okay, let's get this back
in gear
here. Tomas,
I was going to say something, but it's not,
I know you got
something.
See,
not
I got an iPad with all these little things on here. I can.
Not in these days and times, so I'm going to let it go.
A family show, this is.
That's right.
And we got to make sure that we stay that way, especially now we got to deal with the FCC. Or is it the future form? If it's the FCC, FA?
FHA.
The FHA, something like that. Anyway, so.
FFA.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So let's talk about this medical staff.
Speaking of FFA.
Explain. If you're going to interrupt me, you got to explain it.
Well, these doctors are more like veterinarians.
Oh. There could be some
of
that.
You have to catch the little, you know.
The subtleties.
That's
the subtleties. I tell you, you know I'm not that smart. You say these things, I have to research it first. So I just bust out my word of the week a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
and now,
man.
You know,
come on now.
Yeah,
you're asking for a lot.
Okay, so the Saints end up firing two of the members of the medical staff, and I don't know where to go. There are so many
angles. Not a moment too soon.
No. I mean, this is something we've been talking about all these. Okay, was it something real or perceived all the years that we've complained it's starting to build momentum? And early in the season, we were literally, us and everybody else, complaining about it's the medical staff. Now it wasn't so much the complaints about picking up guys with injuries. It was, how do you get all these sports hernias that were supposed to be pulled groins and all these? And now we see that there's obviously some validity behind the complaints.
I don't know if it's completely fair to take this one incident and justify everything that we've been saying. So I'll go ahead and get started. You know, I'm telling you, I mean, it's just like you said, we've talked about this for years. Whether it's the training staff, the medical staff, a combination of the two, there's been something going on with this team being in the top man hour, you know, game played, lost per season and whatnot. And then it carries over when you look at, you know, how the Saints run with the Pelicans, and they have the same kind of problems over there. I mean, I've never seen two more injured franchises in my life, and they have, and they share a staff. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like it, at some point, you know.
Well, here's the irony in it, Tomas, is that they fired these two guys. Or it's actually a man and a woman. They fired these people.
No, I thought it was two.
I'm pretty sure it was a female and a male. No?
Yeah, I thought it was too, but I'm not sure. Well,
and the problem is the Pelicans rehired or actually never really released that doctor from the staff just because the Saints fired him. So how do you feel if you're a Pelican now? It's like, wow, these guys just got fired from the Saints because of misdiagnosing stuff. This didn't happen in a vacuum. This isn't one time. This has to be a reoccurring thing. I agree with you. We can't just now say this validates every single complaint we had about every injury. It's all on these two doctors. Having said that, I really don't believe the Saints just fired two doctors and really could end their careers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where else are they going to go? They're going to have to go to the clinic now. I mean, where are they going to get a job with anybody in sports after being fired?
Well, apparently they solid at Ochsner.
That's the problem. Now, Ochsner sends out a message saying that they support these guys.
We back them, yeah.
Yeah, well, we back
them. You can't expect them to say anything else because lawsuit. It's called a liability insurance claim.
How about not saying anything?
Because they don't handle just the Saints. How about all the other patients that they handle?
No, and that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you going to Ochsner?
No.
No, I mean, I'm not.
Not me.
I mean, here's the other thing. There are so many angles on this. Ochsner supports the Saints and sponsors the Saints, I should say. Millions and millions of dollars. I made this point on Twitter, and somebody linked some pictures. One of them was the big building with Tom Benson's name on it, and the other one was a big check for $5 million, like one of those, you know, big
cardboard
old
thing,
cardboard checks for $5 million. How do you think this goes over with them? I mean, not that they have much say in it, but they pay the Saints millions and millions of dollars, and essentially the Saints went out and told everyone they're not worth a pile of beans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, probably doesn't sit well with them, but, I mean, you know, good on the Saints. I mean, the Saints have got to do something.
You got to step up.
Yeah, they got to do what they got to do. I mean, can't just be about the money.
And so it's two guys.
It is two guys? Okay. So just have a girl's name?
He looks kind of feminine.
Misty Suri. He's Indian.
It missed. Okay. Well, I mean, is that my fault? It sounded like a stripper I was talking to this past weekend.
It does, yeah.
I thought it was two.
I came out and found out later
her
name's
Misty
Teresa.
Mounds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Misty Hills.
Yeah.
Man, you guys. I thought we were trying to keep this, you know, Sunday, man.
Sunday was supposed to be laid back. Yeah.
Lord have mercy on my soul. Look, I'm just going to say this. It's an interesting situation, but. And I'm playing, I guess, sort of the other side of the coin here. If you are the agent of a player and the medical staff of the team that player is playing for says, well, you know, it's not that bad. If I'm the agent, I'm making a lot of money off my guy. I'm going to talk to my guy and say, hold on a second. I have another doctor I need you to go see. Let's get a second opinion.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a player. I'm not involved in sports that way. You know, I'm involved in sports doing this show. But if I heard something and I go to a doctor and says, well, you know, it's this. Well, I had my gallbladder removed, all right, many years ago. So my primary care physician, who I love to death, said, Tomas, it's a gallbladder issue. He said, but he himself said, but I want you to get a second opinion. And so I got a second opinion. Now, a second doctor, we looked at all the services, when you want to schedule the operation. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going, you know, for this. But, you know, I think it's important, especially for anyone, whether you're an athlete or you're just mom sitting at home taking care of the kids. If you have some kind of injury, I'm not going to trust the first guy who says, well, you know what, there's nothing there, just keep limping. I don't think so. I'm going to say, I'm limping, you don't think it's anything, let me get a second opinion. Now, the second opinion says, no, there's nothing there, then I got to say, okay, well, then I'm going to go with it.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, especially when you know where the area of the contusion supposedly was exactly where the metal plate is on his bone.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I'm not a physician, but I know for a fact that anytime you put a piece of metal inside of a human being, the area adjacent to it can be can have an injury.
Be compromised, right.
Right. So to me, it's like, this is a no-brainer. Man, you got a plate there. It looks like a really bad bruise. But you know, underneath that bad bruise, well, when I messed up my left knee, and they rushed me to the hospital that night, I was in a bad automobile accident, my knee was swollen up like a big old cabbage ball. Well, they couldn't take x-rays. Now, this is a long time ago. It was a very different situation. But they couldn't. The doctor said, we can't really tell you until the swelling goes down a little bit, because then we can tell if there's damage to, if it's just soft tissue, if it's bone. Well, so way back when, and I hate to tell you, it was Ochsner, actually, now I'm thinking about it. Ochsner version zero. But I mean, it's a long time ago. But I would say to you that I think that I'm not going to completely fault the medical staff at Ochsner, because mistakes can be made. People make mistakes. Plus, we brought in a lot of people that were already injured. So if you're talking about, well, the Saints are the only ones with injuries. No, if you look down the list, there are plenty of teams that have injuries. You know? I don't believe that these two physicians were the ones who did the surgery on Keenan. I think they were the ones who did the rehab. And when Keenan went to Pittsburgh, now we're finding out, when he went to Pittsburgh, did the physical, the doctors at Pittsburgh told him, by the way, that was a botched surgery. That surgery is all messed up.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So.
See, the problem with it is, back when you were having these surgeries, that's like when somebody, a woman was having a baby at the house.
Just cut off your leg.
The guy, the guy would say, get me some hot water and some towels. And they say, we're going to have the baby here. He'd say, no, we're going to wash the truck and take it to town. You know, it was like, everything was just.
I was supposed to have broken my knee. I'll tell you the truth. I had a really bad head-on accident. I put both knees through the dashboard of the car. One through the cigarette lighter and one through the ignition. Truly. And this is back when
cars
had... You
had skinny knees, huh?
But back then, I mean, I was still in my prime, as they say.
Right. You recover quickly.
No, I had huge thighs from doing squats all the time. And so that's what saved my knees. That's what the doctors all said. The only reason I didn't completely destroy my knee was because of that. The energy went up my leg and hit that my thighs. It took the impact of the energy. So, but yeah, it was a long time ago, 1973. I was just a youngin. But the point still holds that I believe that you have to have a second opinion from outside of the network that you're in if you really think. I mean, these guys are playing for millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Well, especially nowadays, you know? When, like, the doctors, you know, they're ruled by the team and organization. They're going to do whatever they can to get you back on the field.
Exactly.
And so as a player, you do have to protect yourself. And if this doesn't prove that, you just can't go. Especially, you know, these guys, their bodies are their business. Right. Yeah. So they have to.
You know, budgets are tight these days, Dave. You know?
Are they?
Might not have been able to go to that second doctor.
Yeah, I'm sure these guys.
You know,
these guys might.
The way they talk, you know, they worried about putting food on the table. You know, I mean, I don't know.
They are worried about that. So switching
now. Today we didn't have to pretend like the switch was off, because now he's making statements.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. He got sick
Heath
and now
doing
all of a
good.
Sudden, yeah, now he's.
I'm loving it, man. This is good.
I don't know. He got sick.
See, those are the kind of comments he'd make off the air. You see?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So now let's switch to the personal side of this bro thing. Is
all right, bro.
Prior to. The news coming out about the misdiagnosis.
Yeah.
Coach Payton's over there pretty much, I don't want to say insinuating, because he didn't come out and call Bro out in particular, but
it
was obviously directed towards him and said, you know, basically you need to get back on the field.
Right.
And was putting a lot of pressure on him. Now, in his defense at the time, it's like, hey, man, this guy got a bruise.
Yeah.
So he's pushing the guy to get back on the field.
Contusion just means a deep bruise. That's all it is. Right.
And so then goes as far as...
It hurts, though. I can tell you.
I've had that happen before, too. And it goes as far as spreading... You know, it came from the inside. The rumors and releasing information that he was on the trading block.
Trading block,
which, again, at the time made zero sense. Okay, hey, I got this guy who I can't get...
To play
because he's always injured.
Yeah.
What you going to give me for him?
Right. Right.
You know, in other words, you should have just said, hey, the Saints are thinking about cutting him. That might have made more sense.
Right.
But it was just stupid when it came out.
Well, you can blame the doctors, certainly. But I have to say, I read an article, I can't remember the fellow's name, but he was spot on with this, in saying that it's bro. Here's a guy who broke his neck.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how hard did this man work to be able to play football again?
Right.
What did he go through to rehab that injury, which was, you know, a professional end with
yeah.
that injury.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't able to play at LSU because of it, you know, and he worked his way back in. This is the kind of guy you're not going to say, well, you know, he's just lazy. He's just, you know, he's a freeloader. I don't think so, you know. So when this guy said, and by the way, last year, didn't he come back earlier than he was supposed to from the broken leg to begin with?
Well, there were all kinds of stuff that came out about that.
Yeah.
You know, so apparently there were some rumors that they thought he was, you know, I don't know what the right word is.
Malingering.
Yeah, that's a good word. There you go. Well, malingering a little bit when he was supposed to be back because of those other injuries. Now, who knows? Now the water's been so muddied.
Yep.
Who knows what the real situation is?
You just have to put it all behind you and hope that you get a good medical staff. Sean met with the team, and he assured the team that he's going to make sure that everybody in that building that's taking care of players is of the top highest quality can be. But again, I'm going to say, I would say every agent for every player there should be meeting with their players, with their clients, and saying, if you have an injury, no matter what that team doctor tells you, we're going to get a second opinion.
Yeah. I mean, at that level and that money and all, that should just, I mean, that's standard practice in regular medicine.
Exactly.
To get a second opinion on something.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know.
But you would still think that, and I have a hard time believing they were doing it, when you're talking about the highest level of medical care would be for professional athletes. You know, team spending the biggest money for guys who, you know, generally need it the most, and to get them back on the field as soon as possible and maintain your multi-million-dollar investment that the doctors
just hard
would
to
be
imagine,
the best
yeah.
of the
okay.
best.
You're wrong.
Obviously.
And I will tell you why you're wrong, because it's a business. And you have to figure out, because it is a business. You know, my wife has been unemployed for 2 years. She was the best employee. Every company she's worked for, she's brought them more revenue than they can imagine. Yet she sits on the sideline for 2 years. Why? Because it's business. It's not about what have you done for me. It's maybe I can find somebody who'll do it better for me and cheaper. So, I mean, it's a business. And you have to, I'm sorry that it's
cruel. No,
I
mean, I get that, but man, I don't know. If I'm an owner and I'm paying out that kind of payroll every year,
go down the
list. I want to make sure that I can get these guys back on the field with the best, you know.
I'm telling you right now, if this doesn't cause the NFLPA, because they're idiots anyway, but if I were in charge of the NFLPA, at this point, I'm going to investigate every single team and all their medical staffs, because I'm telling you, it's not just the Saints. I guarantee you there are other teams out there who have shoddy practice when it comes to the medical evaluations of these players.
So, I would think that you'd have, okay, these two doctors who would be the best of the best, who
they're
sit in office.
The
who and I'm just saying, no,
if you blow a knee, who are you going to go to?
Are
you going to go to Surrey? Are you going to go to Miss
Knee? No, but if someone told me, absolutely, if someone told me, Dave, you can go to your doctor here over at Lexington General, or you can go to the Saints doctor, I'd be like, oh, man, I can do that?
Yeah.
I'm not anymore. But
certainly the Saints have the best orthopedist there is, right? I mean, no, guess not.
No. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question, because I don't know what you know here, what you don't know here, Dave, but who's the best knee doctor according to all the
James Andrews?
That's correct.
It's not just knees. He
specializes in the, yes, yeah. correct. But he's the big knee. If anybody blows a knee,
right.
that's where they want to go.
That's where they go.
Okay. So who does he work for?
I mean, he works for himself.
He's correct. In Birmingham. Huh?
You know, and okay, you do make a good point in the sense that, okay, you're trying to tell me that my perception is wrong. Perception is perception. What I'm saying is I agree with you. Why work for somebody else when you're the very best? Do your own thing. Having said that, you would think everybody else would be the
that's me.
The
you
best.
Just described me, brother.
Oh, here we go.
Why I have my own brokerage. Why I do everything for myself.
Well, most of these doctors really actually work for themselves anyway. I mean, you got to be affiliated with.
Used to. Let's not get into politics. But used to, yes.
All right. So now the next thing in this situation, as we peel back the layers of the onion, now, how does Bro feel about Sean Payton? Now, everything so far has been positive, and I have to imagine if you're Sean Payton, now I've heard about the arrogance, I've never met the man, but you would have to believe at some point he walks up to him and sits down and says, hey, man, I'm sorry about how this whole thing went down. Now, listen, you got to appreciate that these people told me you had a bruise.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's where this came from. Had I known that, you know, what am I supposed to go by? But I want you to know that I feel really bad for how this went down. I can't see any reason why they can't make up and hug unless Peyton has too much pride to go up and humble himself to that man, but he needs to.
I think that's not going to happen. I think what happened already was that Peyton went before the team in a team meeting. and apologize for the screw-up overall. And then say he promised that he would be personally responsible to make sure that everybody was... Now, the phone call that you're talking about, or the conversation, I think that went between Loomis and whoever Bro's agent is. I think that's where that phone call took place, where Loomis called up his agent, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, this is what happened. We took the benefit of what the doctor said, all the coaches, whether it was a defensive backfield coach or yeah. a head coach. And we hope we can get past this. If you communicate that with your player, we'd appreciate it. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that.
And
Sean's
if that's the case,
him.
Then Bro's agent, I hope, said, you know, he's in a contract year.
Well, that's right. it. Right, right, right. Well, and that's how you play the, because it's business, and that's exactly how you play the yeah. game.
Well, okay, so one more layer.
Show us how sorry.
Unless you bring right,
yeah, exactly.
Show us how right. apologetic.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I take my apologies in with zeros behind yeah. them. Yeah.
Benjamin.
Yeah. So
exactly.
okay, so another layer. Unless you guys bring up another one, because I'm sure there's 100 layers that I've missed. But you've heard about the Keenan Lewis interview on an ESPN station in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's not yeah. coming back.
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. The guy was getting close
see,
to the end of
his
career.
Did you see his little workout?
Yeah.
Those legs were skinny as yeah, this infant, mean, man.
The man never had Tomas thighs.
Yeah.
But, watching him work out, I'm like, and he was, listen, he was towards the end of his career.
Right.
When he was with the Saints right. and then the injuries. And like, here's the one thing that's lost in all this. Is yes, the doctor screwed up diagnosing this, but the Saints didn't injure the guy. He just, if a guy keeps getting injured just because the medical staff misdiagnoses it, at the end of the day, you're still getting injured. And Keenan Lewis was already injured several occasions and was having issues. Now it was misdiagnosed, and never know. Maybe the doctor diagnosed it right to give him the surgery, because wasn't he a victim of the whole the sports hernia situation?
All, yeah.
So, you know, maybe he gets on the field 6 weeks earlier if, you know, but to even suggest, which has been kind of the thing swirling around, I don't know if he personally suggested it, but that he's coming back or wants to. I think he did say it.
Because I got tweets from him showing him working out.
He's been talking about
the doctors told me it was good for me to go ahead and work out now and get myself ready to get back to playing.
Well, then.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
I'd like to officially announce that I am ready to play if the Saints need me.
Yeah.
All they got to do is call me up. I'll take league minimum with some incentives, meaning if I actually make it through one practice without passing out, I expect another 100 on top of it. You know what I'm saying?
$100 here.
Yeah, I'm talking about $100. Yeah. Just throw a little 100 on top.
How about five?
Yeah. You know how like those fives. Yeah, just hand them a five. Tell them thanks for all the hard work. But I mean, the idea that Keenan Lewis.
Keenan Lewis, you know. I think he had a blood clot break off from the hip and go to his brain or something. I mean, the dude's been off he's been off the rocker for a while now. So, I mean, none of this really should be that surprising.
Well, and then all the stuff that he said, okay, now it's obvious that there was some validity to it. But having said that, if you think that you're going to go to a guy who, okay, I don't know how you want to define it, but because I'm not just including football, I'm concluding life in general, that just got fired. And maybe some things didn't go his way or what have you, and think that guy's going to come back and be like, oh, nah, it wasn't their fault. You know, these things happen. So he was laying out the whole thing. He's a victim. It was a huge – and again, I'm not saying none of it was his fault, but at the end of the day, I'm pointing out that everything that he said, you got to take it with a grain of salt, because he is not a happy camper. He's a bitter guy with an axe to grind, and so everything he says –
Well, you know that he – look – on his way out, before all this happened, right? He took out the big flamethrower and pointed it at Dennis Allen and just singed.
He apologized for that too.
Oh yeah, well, you know, so
I mean, but still.
And I'm just saying to you, he did that. And he went on a couple of different talk shows and talked about how horrible the Saints are.
He was digging his own grave at that point.
Yeah. So I mean, to me, look, thanks very much for what you did while you were here. We're proud of you being a Saint at that time, you know, but best of luck to you. You know? So
I wonder what goes through a guy's head, because Keenan Lewis was a man for a little while, not a long while, but he was the man. I mean, if you remember the one thing that sticks in my head more than anything was the Philadelphia playoff game, the road game, where he was shutting those guys down.
Yeah.
Then he gets hurt, comes out the game, and all of a sudden everything changes, and it really shows you how good he was playing at that time.
Oh yeah.
Having said that, the man, you know, having said that, at what point do these guys get this overinflated idea of their own self-worth and think that they're just going to start banging on the coaches, banging on the organization? You know,
called hubris.
And think that nothing's going to come out of it. And it's funny, they'll give you a lot of leeway when you're still a good ball player. But as soon as the tide turns, then like you get no more goodwill. You don't get that extra year where they say, you know, we can still use him because he's a good locker room guy. He lost his explosion. He lost the. Once they like, you're gone. Once you lose that little bit that you have that makes you better than the rest of the
guys, there's nothing left to make you worth putting up with anymore.
Right. And and a lot of these players, they don't know when they get there. You see, and that's really true. Their problem. And it's just, it's a problem in many professions where you're a performer. It's the same thing in the music game. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. People don't know. You're at your peak. You stay there for a little while. Okay, great. But then they don't want to leave the stage because they're like, no, I still have a little bit. I'm still better than... Well, you know, there it is, you know. So, okay.
Show them what you got, but don't let them have it. You got to tease them a little. Make them chase you.
All right, so we're going to tease you a little bit. When we come back after this break, we're going to take... we're going to talk Chargers. We're going to talk the practices the Saints had with them. Some guys showed up. They had some good practices. Did. Some not so good. Yep. But we'll talk about it. Did I mention I heard an interview with Jenkins? And he was like, oh, I'm delighted to be playing for the Saints this year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast. Your favorite. I know it is.
You're fired. 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 You're fired.
Is that the entire team telling them?
Yeah, I think that they just lined the players up that have been injured over the last period of time and let them each have their go at it. I like that. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. So here we are recording on a Sunday, which is very unusual for us.
Right.
But we got all kind of things going on, and we had to do it today so we could get out a good show.
Yeah, you made me get up earlier to do my miles.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what, you had to wake up.
I like to sleep in on Sunday, but not this Sunday.
No. I mean, the crack of 11 was just too early for you to do a show.
If you had to put in 3 miles in gym work in the morning,
Yeah, you should go outside if you're going to run 3 miles and not do it in a gym. You're probably getting in everybody's way.
We went to the park this morning.
So. Nice. You bring the puppy?
No.
No?
Brought my wife.
All right, I'm not going to touch that. Let's go. Okay.
Maybe she brought me. I don't know how that worked. You don't want to cover it, do you?
I'm trying to avoid these things that make the show go in the wrong direction.
I'm talking about family activities.
I know you are.
See?
I know you are, and everyone out there should know that you are.
Okay.
All right, so we're playing the Chargers. Here's the thing. I'm going to petition the NFL that our first game was on Thursday.
All right.
And then our next game's on Sunday night.
Yeah.
This feels like it's been forever since the last game.
And when's the next game?
I don't know. It's Saturday, is it?
Yes.
Saturday? Okay, I guessed. I completely guessed, yeah. So, but I hit it. I nailed it. So they have practices. The first practice, I'm sitting there watching, following the practice, you know, getting the information, and we shut down this. They couldn't pass the ball on us. We're breaking up. It's 7-on-7 drills, and I'm just sitting there with a big old smile just watching this information come through. Then all of a sudden they went to full team, and things went terribly wrong, and we just got manhandled. Apparently we couldn't block them up at all, that we couldn't defend them at all, and then that's when the rumors started coming out that the Saints went looking for Darrell Revis to see if he was interested in playing. Now I don't know if that's even true. But there was a report. I saw it, and I forwarded on or whatever, retweeted it, and a couple of people said fake news. So I don't know if that was like a fake news site or something, because I've heard nothing since.
Yeah.
But you know, you playing poorly when they're like, you know what, maybe Darrell can make us better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so that
was likely to work out as well as Brandon Browner.
Yeah, or even better than that.
Champ Bailey.
That was what somebody else posted after that.
Yeah.
You are definitely making some points about guys that, cornerback. I mean, we are a long-suffering cornerback-deficient team.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
But having said that.
Well, somebody even said Tracy Porter's still available.
Tracy, is he available?
Yeah.
Is he not
You know
injured?
Who I saw get beat like a drum in a preseason game the other day? It was Oh, Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
He's still in the league?
Yeah, he is.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, Stanley Jean-Baptiste. that don't surprise me. Who's he playing for?
I can't remember who it was. And I went, you know, and they...
You just heard Stanley Jean-Baptiste.
And it was like, oh, my God. I did the same thing. I didn't even know he was still out there.
I think that our first-round draft pick, Marshon Lattimore, he's shown a ton of improvement. He came back off an injury. He missed... quite a bit, maybe 10 days or so, yeah. and came back.
Had a contusion, I think. And,
I don't know what it was. Whatever it was, I'm not sure if the diagnosis.
Now he's playing on a broken leg.
That's is right. he? Is yeah. he?
He's a little misty-eyed every once in a while.
With a pull groin. yeah. Now, we don't know these things for sure. It's just what the medical staff told us. So, but he's played really well. He's locking guys down in man coverage. Now the word is that, you know, he's missing time, and maybe one of his weaknesses is his ability to play in a zone coverage. So, you know, I mean, I'll say this. If he's going to excel at something, excel at man coverage, and we'll let you learn on the fly. You know what I'm saying? Go in there, get that guy right there with this number on him. Just don't let him catch the ball. I can live with that. Now, zone is a lot more intricate. There's a lot more details to it. There's a lot more things you have to know when your timing and your spacing and who has what and who has responsibility. When you're in man, just get that guy. And so if there's one thing he's going to be good at, I'd want it to be man coverage.
I agree.
But the time that he's missed, it's going to be hard for him to catch up. But we still, as long as it seems like it's been for preseason, we still, after today's game, we're only halfway through it.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. Yeah, so any guys that you've heard that you're encouraged about? I have another one on my mind that I want to talk about. But
there's a whole group that I want to talk about later. I put it on your little list.
I see that.
But I'd say the people that are in today's game, I don't think we're going to see Breeze or Ingram or Peterson.
Not at all?
So,
Sunday night?
So. Okay. I don't think so. I think we'll see more of Chase Daniel. But then it's still going to be back to, because I think it's the decision. Do you carry three or do you carry two? And I don't think either one of these other two guys is going to be carried, period. So I think we're going down with two. So having said that, I am interested in seeing how Ramczyk does. Because if I'm San Diego...
He thinks he's what's his name from what's the kid's name from the Advocate?
Underhill.
Underhill. Yeah. He thinks he's Underhill. Yeah. Underhill says Ramczyk
and Lattimore.
And Lattimore. That's all
I don't agree with the second one, but I do agree with the first one. I think it's very important. You're talking about really the most important position on the line when it comes to keeping Breeze healthy is left tackle. So you're throwing in there a kid who's a rookie, a kid who was injured coming into the Saints, but luckily, he wasn't diagnosed by the Saints. He was diagnosed before he came to the Saints.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know the injury was legitimate. But well, I'm just saying.
At least you know it was the right injury. Huh?
Exactly. Boy, you know, he didn't say, hey, you know, I think he's got a hangnail. You know, you can play with that. So I'm interested in seeing because San Diego. Oh, I'm sorry, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Take a drink. The Los Angeles Chargers have two very, very top-notch defensive ends. So if I'm the Chargers, I'm lining up both those guys over on top of him and saying, well, let's see what you can do, son.
Yeah.
But that's good for us. I want them to do that because that'll give us a real evaluation of where Ramczyk is. So that would be my first guy. That's my guy on offense that I want to see. The guy on defense that I want to see is one of the guys I'm going to talk about later.
Okay.
Who's on one of the... But it's not Lattimore.
Not Lattimore.
Right. No one in the defensive backfield. There you go. I'll give you a hint.
All right.
So it's either the defensive line or LB. So there you go.
I feel like our sponsor, they might be the best option for our medical care.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Are you looking for the very best in preventative medical care?
Performance.
Look no further than the Boudreaux Parish Sports Performance Center.
Performance.
At the Boudreaux Parish Sports Performance Center, located in beautiful downtown Boudreaux, you'll have access to state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment that will help prevent injuries before they happen.
Performance.
Just take a look at some of the world-class athletes that have trained at our facility. Delvin Bro, Keenan Lewis, Kyle Wilson, Damian Swan, and Sheldon Rankins. Need more? Just ask PJ Williams what he's seen of the Sports Performance Center.
I'm going to tell you what I see. A few seconds of complete darkness, and then I saw some little floaty specks of light.
Performance. And the Boudreaux Parish Sports Performance Center isn't just for world-class athletes. Now, with Obamacare, weekend warriors have access to world-class preventative medicine as well.
Might have to get an update to commercials.
It'll feel like a free prostate exam every time you write the check for your copay. Now, that's what you call affordable health care. The Boudreaux Parish Sports Performance Center, the future of preventative health care.
I'm telling you, we could be in good hands. We wouldn't have all these problems if we turned it over to
a question.
All right.
Could I get some Eclipse glasses at the Boudreaux Center?
They probably have the good kind. That I forget somebody. Do you read where somebody on eBay was selling a bunch of these glasses and they weren't?
They're not real.
Yeah. No, they figured out either these guys either knew it wasn't real and still tried to sell them, or they didn't know. Yeah. So now there's like thousands of these glasses that people are like, no, just look at the sun. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, now, you know, I understand that there was
some
a
were
big
being
run.
Recalled at Amazon.
Well, I understand there was a big run on those glasses in Atlanta. And, you know, the instructions say all you have to do is put these on and stare at the sun for 25 minutes, and you too will think you're a Super Bowl contender.
That's right. That's right.
Did you see the one with the Atlanta's new stadium has a Chick-fil-A in it?
That's right, yeah.
It'll be closed on Sunday.
They only have one non-Sunday game.
It doesn't make sense.
It's Atlanta Falcons.
I know.
It makes perfect sense.
Now it does after you explain that part of it.
So 28-3. That's all I have to say.
The last time, maybe there was an eclipse before that. I mean, when's the last time there was an eclipse?
1979.
Okay. So I was 9 years old. And a guy, my buddy Luke.
Man, you're that much younger than I am, Lord.
I don't know. I think I read somewhere, like some film, like the old school camera film. Uh-huh. And if you put that, it was fine, which obviously it's not.
No. What you do is you take that film and put a pinhole in it and then put it in front of a piece of paper, and then you could see it on the paper. That's what we used to do when I was a little boy.
Oh, you see, but I didn't get that part. So I'm just looking at the sun
through
this thing. And my buddy Luke, who actually listens to the show, who I'm going to see on, I think, Monday, I'm going to see him. And if he listens to the show, I remember being that little dumbass kid that convinced him, or at least said it was okay. Hey, Luke, I was 9, bro. I was 9 years old. How am I supposed to know? And so we're both looking at the sun and then immediately go back in the house, turn the TV on. It's like, breaking news from the BS and Booze desk. Don't look through film. It'll burn your retinas and you'll never see again. And Luke got all tore up about it, boy. I felt bad.
And you were walking around, you saw this little black dot in front of you the whole time you were walking. Yeah. Going, I wonder where that black dot came from.
Rubbing your eyes and trying to make it go away. But, all right. So I had a random thought this morning. Mm-hmm. And it was
just
Coleman.
This morning?
No, I have them all the time. But this one I thought I'd share because I remembered the random thought.
Because okay. It's still morning.
You know. So you have Coleman, who has pretty much.
Oh, wait now! Hold on! You know, see now you need to make one on one of these things here. You need to make one that says, you know,
I love that guy.
I love that. I love that podcast.
Instead of podcast, you have to put I love that guy.
I know. I don't know why you guys feel like it's okay to just beat me up when I'm trying to you know, have
make
a
statement.
Yeah, I feel like
of this random memory that you had this morning.
Yeah.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
All right, Coleman.
So Coleman has had a pretty, from my perspective, a pretty uneventful career so far, but seems like the light may be coming on.
Yeah.
He played well in the preseason game. He's been tearing it up in camp, and so has Lewis. Now, you're talking about a 6'6", a huge 6'6 guy, who, if he develops, I mean, you're talking about a red zone threat. You're talking about, you know, throw it up there, get a first down. And then Lewis, who's a jitterbug kind of speed guy.
5'6 guy.
But he brings a completely different skill set.
Yeah.
You combine that with Thomas and Snead and the speed of Ginn, man, that receiving core looks formidable. So that's just the random thought of the day. I'm excited.
So long as they can keep that up and bring it when it matters, yeah.
No, and that's right, that's the key to it. That's the key to it. So are you ready to talk about that position group that you are excited about?
Want. Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Well, is this something you're going to get upset about? I mean, are you happy about it?
I'm happy. I'm okay. Happy. So, I'm not going to be ranting.
Oh, my God, it's going to blow!
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow!
I have opinion.
I got a new coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up.
And she will.
I
just
truly love that.
Certainty.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I use it on my own show. So, you know,
there you go. It's good stuff. Whoever produced that was mighty fine, mighty talented,
absolutely
intelligent, right, good-looking guy.
Speaking of hubris, let's go.
Okay. So it's not really a rant, but here's what I mean, I don't know if it's bigger. First of all, and I should have known this because I speak Italian, the correct pronunciation
Oh, I saw that. Our linebacker, right?
Anzalone.
Hey, Anzalone. Anzalone. Right. Hey, right. Forget about it. Who that left you, boss?
Well, I should have known. It means A-E-O-U. That's how you pronounce it in Italian. So, okay. So Anzalone. Okay. Well, but what I wanted to bring up was that there's another linebacker that has been quietly placing himself in the mix. Look, Dave's like, I'm trying to think of who has been quiet. Manny Te'o.
Quiet, yeah. But now, he's doing his job.
Te'o!
Not hey, only
Manny Te'o.
Well, no, he's from the islands.
Yeah.
So I got nothing for that.
Yeah, me either. So,
but there's some Italians on the islands.
That would be Sicily.
Sicily, yeah.
Okay, different island.
Now, what's that? I see. Now, what's that boy up to? Better check on it, yeah. Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
That's right. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. Nobody listens to a word
I say. All right, Manny
Te'o. All right.
Yeah. No, I think that if – remember that Nolan was his linebacker coach two seasons back in San Diego. And so he is already familiar with the way in which Nolan runs a defense. He's come in here. He's healthy. I mean, completely healthy. No broken bones, no sprains, no strains.
No groin pulls.
No groin pulls, according to the Boudreaux medical.
At least medical. Not the ones we see.
That's right. So he has really been showing himself to be an outstanding play caller playing middle linebacker, which is exactly what we need. We need somebody who knows how to put everybody else in the right position. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be one of the surprises we're going to see come out of the preseason. A lot of people thought, he's, tore his Achilles tendon, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's going to be a surprise. I think that he's going to be an incredibly solid part of our linebacking core.
Yeah.
And matching that up with Anzalone. So when you were asking me about who are the two people I'm looking at tonight, these are the two people I'm looking at, Ranchak and Anzalone. Because I believe he is also going to make a tremendous difference, and we'll see tonight, because the Chargers have really good tight ends and running backs coming out of the backfield in a similar situation that the Saints do with that little swing pass they used to do with Pierre. So this will be his opportunity to show whether or not he really can have that mobility to get out there and cover.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm looking. Those two positions, I think, are the ones to look at tonight. I'm not so concerned about Williams at safety or the defensive line. I think we're going to see all kinds of things going on in the defensive line.
Yeah.
But
I think the most important aspect of that is that Nolan brought his girlfriend out with him in his suitcase.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. She recovered from leukemia.
Yeah.
And so that was the important thing.
Yes. Breaking news,
baby. That's got him back, yeah.
That's right.
What I find interesting about that is that I have heard subtle things about Te'o. And I'm not going to say I was thinking that, but as you're saying it, I kind of start seeing it, because there's been some little indications about A.J. Klein. And now they're talking about him on the strong side.
Right, not in the middle.
Which to me, I mean, look, strong side linebacker plays maybe 10 plays a game. So that makes me feel not so good about what the Saints feel about A.J. Klein, who is a middle linebacker.
Well, and then it goes back to the trust factor, okay? Because this happens.
True.
You're talking about these receivers, right? You brought up the idea about the receivers. A receiver can only excel, not just because he has talent, but because the quarterback believes in him, okay? So if you go back to the quiet storm, the reason number 12 got all those passes is because Bree sat back there and go, if there's one guy who can catch the ball for me,
right,
that's my man. Okay. So, and if you look at the statistics last season, you notice that as the season progressed, Thomas got more and more and more passes. But at the beginning, he wasn't key guy.
Right.
Because you have to develop that trust with your people. So here's Te'o, who's already been under Nolan. Nolan has a trust that, he knows what I want. He'll call the play. Klein doesn't. Okay. So it could well be that, again, he's going to say, this guy would do much better in this situation here. And again, remember, we're not always going to be playing 4-3. There are going to be all kinds of packages and sub-packages in there. So I'm not going to be surprised to see Klein in there a heck of a lot. It's just that I think that if we are in that basic 4-3, I think we're going to see Te'o more than we're going to see anybody else at middle. But I also think that we're going to see Anzalone more as that.
As a weak side?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and he's been doing very well in practice.
Yeah.
You keep hearing his name in coverage, and he had a great play.
Yeah,
in the game.
Cleveland,
I mean,
game.
You know, yep. Downfield.
Yeah.
You know, like, when's the last time we saw a linebacker breaking up a ball, you know, 15, 18 yards downfield?
Don't
you know, it just yeah, it's been a long time.
Exactly.
So, or maybe even, you know, Vilma did it a few times. He's made some plays. But the bottom line on it is hasn't been enough. So, anyway, what I'm going to do is go around the table and ask you guys. I think Tomas, you already said it. Maybe you have a couple of other guys you want to mention. But who we think we want to keep our eye on tonight during the game with the Chargers. Tomas, you have some stuff?
Well, give Heath a minute. I like the two guys that I talked about. If I had to add somebody else to it, I would say it would probably be Devontae Harris. Probably the other one I'd like to see, because Crawley sort of a lot of people have put Crawley in a doghouse, which I think is wrong.
I do too, and I'm not a big fan. And but I
know you're not. I am. You know, I've been.
But
on
what
his,
I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, I agree that I don't think that I thought he's played well. He had some issues, but he also had some great plays.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And so, but I'd like to see whether or not Devontae Harris has it to make it or not. You know, as one of the six defensive backs that we keep. So
I think he does.
I do too. I mean, he was on my list from last year as well. So, but because of all the flack that we've heard about Crawley, then I think it's an interesting moment here for Devontae Harris to step up a notch and see what he can do. So that would be a name that I would throw out there that I think is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heath?
Well, you said before about Williams and all. I said him last week. Been hearing a lot about him showing those ball hawking skills. Mm-hmm.
The safety.
Safety Williams. And also Von Bell. That's going to be an important tandem back there this year for the Saints. And, you know, Williams coming in as a rookie, and then how big of a step Von Bell takes. He looked good last week. And then defensive end. I mean, we still need to see more out of these guys. I guess Hendrickson back?
I think he's going to play today. He has been back in practice, unless he had a setback. Matter of fact, we didn't mention that Streif hurt his elbow. So we'll see. I mean, now you're going to have some deficiency on the right side. We're razor thin, and this is back to what I was saying in the preseason, you know, about depth. That's what separates the good teams from the average teams and average teams from the bad teams is when a guy goes down, and they will.
Yeah.
Who do you have to come in behind him? And right now, we have Streif is good. You have a rookie that we expect to be good. You have Teron Armstead when healthy is amazing. But, boy, I tell you what, Teron goes out, and now if Streif is hurt for any length of time.
Yeah. Harris plays the right.
That's what either one of those two, man.
Well, but I like Harris better than Barnes.
Listen, and
neither one's a winner necessarily, but I'm just saying.
I will say this. Both have played, and it's amazing how the Saints can scheme those guys.
Exactly.
The problem is that the scheme only it reduces your playbook.
Sure.
You know, you say, man, look, he hasn't done anything, but you realize, listen, we cannot do the 7-step drop. We cannot do this play where we have to spin, fake this way, or do anything that takes time. If we just do the quick passing game, all you got to do is stand in the way.
Which again is why Breeze is not playing tonight.
Right, and you don't want to, and you don't want to get him hurt. You don't want to get him
hit. I'd like to see the Saints come out and let them play a series or two and kind of set the tone.
I think they come out and say they weren't playing?
No,
because I think they said there might be.
I know it's what they did last year, and I didn't agree with it then. And I don't see how you could look at anything last year and say, yeah, that was a pattern for how to do things. So this, you know, I'd like to see them come out. Every other team is playing their starters for a series or two. Come out, kind of set a tone, you know.
Did you see what happened to the Jets quarterback yesterday? I don't remember who it was, but the Jets, were they playing Cincinnati maybe? Or were they playing Detroit? Mm-hmm. I mean, they just left a guy and blocked, and he just got, I mean, like he was a tackling dummy. And I'm like, boy, the Jets are in regular season form right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that happening to Breeze. The guy that to me has just been making noise, and he's the guy I expected the least out of. Muhammad has been playing. I mean, the guy, I was amazed when I watched him play against the Browns. I mean, he's quick, he's agile, he's got more than one move. I mean, he's a spin. This guy didn't even play, got kicked off the team in Miami. And I mean, now all of a sudden it's like we look pretty deep if we can get what we expect out of Trey Hendrickson, because we have heard some good things about him.
Yes.
You know, and tonight will be a time where we get, you don't get to hear other people's opinions. We get to see it. And and Muhammad looked great last week, and I keep seeing in practice that he's getting sacks and he's doing things and you know, different, like the spin move. I heard he has an insane, and I saw it, and they were talking about it during practice, insanely quick spin move. Man, if this guy develops
they really talked about him at the draft, you know, when they drafted him. A lot of those guys were saying that, you know, he's raw. But, I mean, this is a guy with real skill for the limited amount of time he's played, and he could wind up being a real steal of a pick.
Yeah, I agree. But he's raw. If you watch the video for Cleveland, like if we watched the game for Cleveland, you saw that, yes, there were some spectacular plays. But then there were also some plays where he was
And, you know, but, hey, if you throw him in there on third down and, you know, third and seven and let him get after the quarterback,
well, here's the bad thing I'm going to tell you. Too much film on him. We're not going to be able to sneak him through.
Oh, no. There's no. But you know what was funny? Somebody made a point, and again, back to Twitter, somebody made a point, and they said something about him making it, and I was like, you know. But then when I looked at the depth chart.
Look at the rest of the people. Who's going to make it over him? Guachum?
Yeah, like Guachum's his only competition, and he's not done very much.
He's done nothing.
He's done, you know, and I'm looking at the rest of it. So defensive end, you got Jordan. You know, is Tapp going to make the team? He's a versatile guy. Are they going to keep Muhammad makes it before Tapp does.
The only thing is that Tapp can play the inside.
Muhammad can't.
But then also –
he's too light. I mean, there's no way Muhammad can play on the inside.
Oh, no. I never suggested that. I'm just simply saying that Tapp
will be by the phone later in the season if you need him.
Yeah, he'll be there.
You know,
he'll
going to be one of those deals.
Yeah, that's one of the guys who would go through it, So, anyway, any final thoughts?
And then also, just at the same position, let's see what does this week against a guy that's maybe not starting at left tackle for the first time or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Or really that whole group.
So can I just consider that your final thoughts?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to have to repeat.
Because other than that, I got nothing anyway.
All right. My man. Tomas, give me your final thoughts, partner.
My final thoughts are it's going to be a good game to watch tonight. I think we'll enjoy it, and we'll be able to move forward and make some better assessments of some of our players. But at the same time, I don't think we're going to see the big stars play. And so that's yet to be determined. I think the third game at home will be the big game for us when we're going to see Breeze one or two series, and by that point, maybe it's people more healthy. Oh, you got something? Go ahead.
Yeah, Stanley Jean plays for the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
That's what I was watching.
Right, the Jaguars.
That's right there
where Grayson's going to end up being a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I heard we might get a third for him.
There you go.
I'm already formulating my letter, my strongly worded letter to the NFL about not having these Thursday and then Sunday games. I think they're doing it. Goodell's doing it to us on purpose.
I think they thought to themselves, if the Saints go out to Cleveland and lose, they might need 10 days to
get over it.
You might want to give them
in your letter, you might also want to mention in there that I personally cannot stand the way they decided to do the cuts this year.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Need to go back to that slow dribble of people being out. Absolutely. You know?
All right. All right, well, man, I'm heading to New Orleans.
Well, have a safe trip, my friend.
We look forward to talking to you guys. Boy, we're going to have a problem because I'm on vacation after that. I'm going to Mexico, and so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do a show.
How are you going to do our draft on Thursday?
Oh, I get back from New Orleans on Thursday, and I leave for Mexico on Friday.
Well, there you go.
So I got a busy, man.
Man, so, this guy's really
so we jet might have setting,
to,
man.
We I'm might have you. To try to squeeze in.
You're going down in the ESPN I know now jet, where that, on the jet.
I know where that ESPN money's going now, buddy.
Oh, man. Hey, before I forget, and I've been forgetting through the whole show, I just want to say to Troy that called in and had a question for Chris Landry, I didn't forget about you. Just because of how everything's worked out, I haven't gotten a chance to talk to Chris. So we will ask that question when I talk to Chris next time. So for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will catch you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.